A constellation of stars forms a circle to make the O of Orion Pictures, a Brenda Feigen production of a film by Lewis Teague, starring Charlie Sheen, Michael Biehn, and Joanne Worley Kilmer. In 1962, President Kennedy, believing that the wars of the future would be low-intensity conflicts, such as guerrilla wars and acts of terrorism, created an elite special forces unit to meet the enemy on his own turf. Experts in sea, air, land operations, they are known as Navy SEALs. Present day, the aircraft carrier USS Forrestal, the Eastern Mediterranean. In the control room.
Sir? Kuwaiti Star, this is United States Warship Yankee Bravo. What is your situation?
We have been attacked! Five wounded! Please come now!
A helicopter.
United States Navy Hilo approaching your position. Stand by. Over. Yankee Bravo, this is 90501. The official contact is the burning tanker. Bearing 209er, range 2 miles. Have established radio communications, ETA, 1 minute.
Roger, 01, continue inbound. Be careful.
Another officer picks up the phone.
Get the TAO in here.
The chopper circles the column of black smoke rising up from the burning tanker.
It is on fire and adrift, over.
Roger, 01, stand by. Gunship is en route. Your sector, over.
Explosions on board.
We can't wait. We are about to explode and we have 5 men wounded!
Yankee Bravo, don't think we can wait. We have permission to go in.
The officer at the radio consults the officer standing over him.
Roger, 01, watch yourself.
Quaystar, stand by. We are coming in on your port side.
Thank you. Okay, we move all the crew on to port side.
Okay, Quaystar, this is US Navy Hilo. Quaystar, we're moving into position to lower a diver onto your deck. You'll be a big help if you keep an area clear in front of that bridge for us. Over.
We're running 2K off the winch, and I'll go right on the port side.
We got a gunboat on our starboard side.
I got him here.
Unidentified gunboat. I'm United States Navy helicopter. Here to take off wounded from the tanker.
I am unarmed in international waters. What are your intentions? Over.
The gunship opens fire on the helicopter, hitting one of the crew.
Whoa!
Yankee Bravo, we're taking gunfire.
Let me get the hell out of there.
Tangale 01, get out of there.
More gunfire hits the back propeller, causing the pilot to lose control of the chopper, which pitches and dips its nose.
01, get out of there. Tangale 01, this is Yankee Bravo. Come in. Come in, 01. Tangale 01, this is Yankee Bravo. Come in. Nightingale 01, this is Yankee Bravo, come in. Come in, 01.
Waves lap against a beach, where a man lies face down and spread-eagled on the flat sand. Awoken by the waves now lapping around him, the young handsome man with black hair dressed in an unbuttoned floral Hawaiian shirt heaves himself to his feet, drops a high-heeled shoe he finds clasped in his hand, and limps up the beach towards wooden steps leading up to a white-walled seafront house. A man is perched in the lotus position on top of the tidebreaker. A caption reads, Norfolk, Virginia. A blonde man, stripped to the waist, Jim Curran, comes out of the house and covers his eyes from the glare of the sun as the black-haired man, Dale Hawkins, mounts the steps.
Hawkins! Where's Graham? Cheers!
Let's get married. 30 minutes.
He finds Billy Graham sitting in shirt and bow tie.
Hey, here you are.
He sits down next to him.
How you doing?
I don't know, man. Stopped drinking and started thinking.
Shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can do this thing, Jim.
Graham, I'll be there, right by your side. We'll do this thing together.
What do you mean, we, Paleface?
Graham gives Curran an affectionate hug.
I gotta get dressed.
Right, man.
Graham and Curran drive along in a Jeep. Hawkins is in the back.
Lighten up, Chief. The best is all ahead of you.
Like what?
Marriage, children, a commitment. That's what's important.
It's too horrible to even think about.
Look, I have a commitment to the teams.
Yeah, well, the teams aren't going to last forever. Then what are you going to come home to?
A fridge full of beer and an address book full of phone numbers, that's what. And coming from a guy whose marriage lasted all of what, about a year and a half?
Right here, baby.
You should consider the source. Is this really what you want to do, Billy?
Yeah. Well, hell, I guess so, huh?
You guess so. Well, that's beautiful.
Hawkins stands.
Well, I'm sorry, guys, but I cannot be a part of this funeral procession.
And throws himself out.
See you later!
He lands in the water below the bridge.
It's a crazy motherfucker.
Hope he dies in pneumonia.
Did you see that shit?
They speed off. Curran throws Hawkins' jacket over the edge, and it lands near him.
Thank you!
In an enormous, high-ceilinged church, the congregation stands as the bride's father leads her down the aisle. Graham leans over to Curran standing next to him.
What the hell am I doing? I hardly know this woman.
Another 3 years, Chief.
Cameras flash as the bride, Jolena, beaming happily from under the veil of her broad-rimmed hat, walks sedately towards the altar, one hand on her dad's arm, the other clutching a bouquet of flowers. Curran looks down at his pager. Various other men amongst the congregation check their pagers, all displaying the message, "Come to work."
We gotta go. Now.
The men, six in total, file out past the baffled bride and her father. Curran and Graham bring up the rear. The bride lifts her veil to confront the groom.
Sorry, honey, I gotta go.
Now?
This minute.
This is some kind of joke, right? I don't believe it.
Sorry, Joe. Excuse me.
No, this is bad timing.
With you guys, it's always bad timing.
I'll call you when I can.
Blinking away tears, she stares forlornly after Graham as he jogs out of the church to join the other men outside.
Who's called, Chief?
He was either born lucky or unlucky. I can't figure which.
A blue pickup truck pulls up. Hawkins jumps off.
It's over?
Never happened.
That was quick.
And joins Curran and Graham in the Jeep.
What's going on?
Come on, let up, get in!
Gentlemen, there's a God in heaven.
They speed away, followed by the others in a blue car. Nighttime at an East Mediterranean seaport. Jeeps speed along the quayside. Standing in the back of the first are two Arabic men in combat uniform, carrying guns. Pulling up in a courtyard, a bearded Arabic man, Ben Shaid, jumps out of the first jeep and orders waiting troops to load the trucks quick, then rushes inside. A henchman comes down the stairs to face a barrage of abuse. Idiot, who authorized you to shoot down that helicopter? Stupid, and to bring the Americans here? The henchman answers, "It's only that I thought..." Shaid snaps, "No, you did not think. You did not think at all." The men march into a large, darkened room. Rounding a corner, they face the glare of a brightly lit room, where the three US helicopter crew members are tied to chairs, kept hostage by two guards. "Get rid of them," Shaid says, with a dismissive wave of the hand, before storming away. Scratching his head, the henchman ambles over to the group, hovers menacingly behind the hostages, then suddenly pulls a gun and places it against the head of one of the crew members. Five Navy SEALs burst in through the windows and doors and advance in a line, spraying the henchmen and the guards with machine gun fire. A sixth SEAL drops down on a rope through a skylight into the corridor. The team stops, frozen, guns poised.
Clear. Real clear.
Hawkins peels off his balaclava and surveys the debris.
Search team in. X-ray, this is bad karma. Objective secured.
Back on X-ray, what is your situation? Over.
Preparing to move. Three passengers on schedule. Primary LZ. 60
seconds.
X-ray, roger out.
We're SEAL team. We're here to get you out.
I believe you.
50 seconds.
Shahid shuts himself into a room. A black-haired SEAL, Ramos, checks the bodies through a viewfinder.
That guy.
The medic, Leary, checks the wounded hostage. Hawkins joins Rexa, the SEAL in the corridor, and presses his fingertips lightly against a closed door. He whips out a shotgun.
Get a locked door over here.
Hawkins, don't break.
Hawkins blasts the door, and he and Ramos smash into the room where they find Shahid, bloodied and stripped to the waist.
We got an unknown in here.
We're compromised. Everybody out, now!
The two SEALs cautiously advance on Shahid.
Alright, I got
it. Hawkins sticks his gun in his back.
Shut the horn!
What's he saying? What's he saying?
He says an Egyptian sailor!
He uses the viewfinder.
Alright, I got it.
Bad guy's not even a spy, they beat the shit out of him.
Smoke this piece of shit right here.
Hawkins! Damn it! Let's go!
Hawkins and Ramos back off, warily pointing their guns at Shahid all the way out of the door. Once they've left, Shahid looks over his shoulder. The SEALs and the hostages creep down the steps and hover in a corridor.
What was that shit at the door?
Room service.
Hunched up and guns at the ready, they scuttle along a corridor down a flight of steps, where they loiter to check out the deserted courtyard. Leary supports the injured hostage. Ramos carries the dead hostage in a fireman's lift. Alert! The SEALs cover all the angles, ready to advance. Peering round the corner, Rexa nods back at the group. Hawkins draws a hand across his throat. Cohen shakes his head and grimaces, but Hawkins and Rexa run out anyway across the courtyard to an opposite wall. They check the coast is clear. Hawkins beckons to Cohen, who reluctantly signals his men to advance.
Rooftop, back of us!
Under fire from the rooftop, they take cover and return fire.
God?
God here. God, we have a single shooter, southeast tower.
Yeah, I see him.
The seventh SEAL, Dane, high up on a crane, takes aim and shoots the sniper. More snipers shoot from the rooftop.
Nice shot, but you got two more.
Dane trains his sights on the ramparts but can only see a yellow glare.
Got nothing on starlight. Switching to thermal.
A red glowing figure appears.
Okay. Hold on.
Dane blows holes in the stone ramparts with his powerful rifle, taking out the two snipers.
God, what's our status?
They're not moving, you're clear.
Move out.
The team runs out into the courtyard to face another hail of bullets from ground level. They return fire and take cover to the side.
Get them in the side!
Hawkins gets in a few more rounds of gunfire before taking cover.
We are meeting heavy resistance. What the fuck is this? Fuck me, it's not target.
They're coming out of fucking woodwork.
Guys, alley to the rear.
The injured hostage.
Get him out of here.
Hold him now. Oh.
Hawkins and Cohen reload.
All units, we're cut off from our primary LZ. Going to LZ2. Repeat, going to LZ2.
Roger.
He's starting to piss me off. Now cool out.
Oh, I am cool. Say no, I'm not.
Help me. Leader, let's go.
We gotta buy us some time.
How much time do you want?
Birdling's at 0245. Be there, swim.
We got more coming.
Ramos, give me a hand.
Hawkins and Graham remain in position to hold the oncoming soldiers at bay, whilst the others retreat into the building.
Graham!
Yo!
Cover me!
Graham keeps firing whilst Hawkins advances from behind his corner, ducks down behind an oil drum, then jumps up and fires.
Hope these fuckers paid their gas bill.
He throws a hand grenade.
Oh! Taste the beer, Billy!
Got it!
Graham and Hawkins charge into the building, following the path taken by the others, but they are stopped short in the doorway. They sprint up the steps instead. As they creep through a shadowy corridor, another man appears in a doorway. Hawkins stabs his gun into his stomach and shoots him to the floor. Leading them onwards, Hawkins peers round a corner into a warehouse, where large wooden crates are being unloaded. Hawkins retreats and points to his eyes. Graham copies the gesture and points to his gun. Crouching down low, Hawkins leads them both out from behind the corner to take cover in the blanket of darkness behind the nearest stack of crates against the wall, bringing them just a few metres away from their target. Waiting for their moment, they leap out and open fire. They duck down behind another stack of crates to reload. Some men appear in front of them. Hawkins pulls a handgun. Nipping round the crates, Hawkins and Graham see off the assailants before crouching down to reload. The room appears empty, shrouded in a white haze. Hawkins dusts the shavings off one of the crates, revealing the label, Guided Missile System, Intercept Aerial.
Why aren't they firing?
Hawkins indicates the crates of missiles.
That's why. Stingers.
Shit. Guided missiles?
Jackpot. Bad Karma Leader, this is Bad Karma 2. Do you copy? Over. Leader, this is 2. Do you copy?
Leader, this is 2. Do you copy?
Hawkins takes 2 hand grenades.
Really?
What do you have in mind?
Well, I'm gonna do this.
He throws one into the open doorway.
Shit. Now,
Graham's eyes widen as Hawkins flicks out the pin.
I'm gonna do this.
God damn it, Hawkins!
He drops it in the crate and they run for cover. They cower on the stairs. Hawkins peers round the corner at the crates, which are still intact.
It didn't blow.
No shit, sir!
The other SEALs emerge into the open courtyard and head for a pile of sacks.
Behind those bags! Cover! Take cover! Let's set perimeters! X-ray! Bad Karma! We're extracting!
An 8th SEAL runs out and is shot down.
Sniper on the rock!
They fire up at the snipers on the walls around them.
Sniper on the rock!
Cohen charges out and drags the fallen SEAL out of the firing line. A Navy helicopter comes down to land in the courtyard.
Come on, gotta go!
Where's Hawkins?
Graham and Hawkins pelt out of the building. Hawkins drops down beside Curran.
All right, extract! Everybody go! Go! Go!
We just found an entire warehouse full of missiles! We got a blow! Missiles!
No, we're extracting!
Give me the bridge and charges! I can handle it!
No, we're extracting now!
I can handle it!
Let's move it!
Cohen hustles Hawkins towards the chopper. Dane abseils down the side of the crane. Shahid runs out to see the SEALs piling into the helicopter. The helicopter lifts off. Some SEALs perch on the side to field the gunfire from the men on the ground. Shahid shoots with a handgun, then stops, panting heavily, teeth gritted, to watch the SEALs escape. In the helicopter, Leary examines the wounded man.
How's he doing? Think you'll be okay? Good.
Lieutenant, I really... You guys are incredible. Thank you.
There's no reason to thank us, because we don't exist. You never saw us. This never happened.
Cohen pats him on the arm and rises. Hawkins smirks.
One more thing. You're welcome.
Leary, cradling his patient in his arms, gives a relieved nod. The helicopter comes to land on an aircraft carrier. A naval officer, Captain Dunn, watches, hands on hips, as a stretcher's hurried over to the injured man. Now, in a brightly lit meeting room, each of the SEALs are questioned in turn by a group of naval officers.
Describe your method of entry.
I came through a skylight.
And you had contact in the hallway?
One confirmed.
What was your actions at the ejective area?
I entered the room in a third position, swept left to right.
You fire your weapon?
Fucking A, sir.
There were no other documents?
I got everything in the room.
Everything?
Everything but the onions.
Crew chief was dead. Co-pilot had serious internal injuries. I stabilized him, prepared to move. That's when the shit hit the fan.
The primary LZ was aborted. I covered their movement to the secondary.
You engaged hostiles?
I vaporized hostiles.
Why did you decide to break silence and blow the door?
I thought I heard something.
You know, we all hear things, Lieutenant. Some of us react differently.
Some of us don't react at all.
Why did you let this man go?
I had a plane to catch.
One of the Arab officers says, should we tell them who it is? The other answers, no. Call Tel Aviv first.
Can you tell us why you elected not to go back in and blow up the missiles, Lieutenant?
I had one dead and two wounded. I didn't have time to dick around.
You consider searching for internationally important munitions dicking around?
Hey, don't point the finger at me about something you guys at Intel should have known about in the first place. Oh, and by the way, thanks for the hot tip on the 100 assholes we encountered at your soft targets. Makes you wonder why they call it intelligence.
That would be nothing, huh?
He strides out. Curran joins Ramos, Leary, and Rexa in their sleeping quarters.
Hey, mail for the boat.
Hey, LT, want to miss some of that combat pay?
No, I'll keep my $60, thanks.
He wanders off down the corridor. In his own private quarters, Hawkins practices loading a handgun. He aims it at his reflection in the mirror, steadying it with both hands, lowers it, then lifts it again quickly. He turns his head as Curran enters.
Am I interrupting something?
No.
Thought you might want to take a look at that.
Hawkins opens up the file containing a photo of Shahid and slams it shut again.
Could have used this a week ago.
Well, who knew?
God damn. I am still jacked up. You want to talk about a rush? Fuck me.
I learned to keep that emotion under control.
Yeah, but it's flowing through me, boss. It's flowing right through me.
That hunt is not the one you're looking for. Believe me.
End of lecture.
Yeah. For now.
Washington, D.C., the Pentagon, a TV interview with Shahid screened in a meeting.
You cannot invade our land and talk about security. You cannot send soldiers into our homes and talk about peace. You cannot kill a man's family and talk about human rights.
And you wage this war with acts of terrorism against civilians.
If America kills our people, then our people will kill Americans.
As in the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut in 1983.
In a reprisal for the shelling of our homes and the murder of our families by American warships.
It's a real sweetheart, huh?
How does he fit in over there?
Shahid? Well, he just emerged as leader of a group, Al-Shuhada.
Al-Shuhada?
Whatever.
Who are they?
They just put a new team in the field. We know next to nothing about them, except we believe they're connected to the Hezbollah.
No, well, our source says...
Jesus, we don't know much about anything, do we? Who's that reporter?
Claire Ferrans?
Yeah, how come she's so knowledgeable?
Well, she's half Lebanese. She's got contacts over there we couldn't even hope
she
to have.
She covered the Mideast for the networks for 5 years. She's a reporter. She's not going to give us anything.
What they've got is the perfect terrorist weapon. Portable handheld.
Jeez, what a mess. This fanatic's got a warehouse full of these missiles.
Warren Stinson, at the head of the table, points at Curran.
Why in the hell didn't you blow those things when you had the chance?
Sir, the lieutenant made a decision under fire, and we stand behind that decision.
Navy SEALs, they're paid to take risks. They're paid to get shot at. They're paid to die if necessary. Now, I take exception to that decision.
Damn it, Warren. The point here is not what might have been done, but what we do now.
Warren chews his lip, considering. The others shift uneasily. Curran seizes his moment.
With due respect, sir, let me take my team back in there. With my first-hand knowledge of this Shahid...
Warren raises a hand.
That'll be up to the President. Now we'll see if he wants to give your SEALs another opportunity.
A harbor in Norfolk, Virginia.
Nobody's blaming the SEALs and nobody's blaming you, Curran.
Sir, I don't care about the blame. I care about the safety of my team, and I care about getting those stingers back.
Situation has changed. No one knows where in the hell those missiles are. It's up to the intelligence community now. It's out of our hands, completely out of our hands.
I don't accept that.
It's out of your hands. You're an operator, not a policymaker. Get used to it.
I had them. Should have taken them out when I had them.
How do you know you would have made it? I think more than likely you and your team would have been waxed.
Well, like the man says, that's what we're paid to do.
I want your team to stand down for a while. Relax, cool out, get some perspective on this, all right?
Captain Dunn stares at Curran.
Lieutenant?
Aye, sir.
Dunn slaps him on the arm and strides off. Now the SEAL team rides in a convoy of motorized golf carts across a lush, leafy golf course. Deer lift their heads as the loutish SEALs speed past, discarding litter in their wake. They park their golf carts in a neatly regimented line on the fairway, and each of them tee off in turn, with varying success. Rexha takes a fall. The boys are back in town. Hawkins is goosed with the golf club, so picks up his ball and thumps it at the culprits. Rexha uses the club as a snooker cue to try to pot the ball, but fails. Graham sinks his putt. Leary misses. Ramos putts. But his ball stamps into the green. Leary and Hawkins take bunker shots. Hawkins gets out, so Leary takes his club and snaps it like a twig. Jolina films Graham with a camcorder as he slices the ball into the trees. The boys speed around recklessly in their golf carts, churning up the grass, playing bumper cars, jousting, and even polo, leaning over the edge to whack the ball around with their clubs. In one cart, Leary and Hawkins shove another cart into the lake, then draw up alongside Curran, relaxing in a stationary cart. Hawkins greets him by making a slicing movement with his hand.
Fellow cake eater.
Hot shot. Rain grenade?
Sure.
Curran tosses Hawkins a can of beer.
What, are you still thinking about bad guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
As a matter of fact, I am.
It's old news, man. We go in there, we hit them, and forget them. That's what we do, right?
Come on. There's more to it than that.
Look, if you got a problem, do something about it. You stick it out, then don't be afraid to get it cut off. That's what I always say. Gotta get these emotions under control, son.
Curran pulls out a book entitled Tears of Rage by Claire Varence, the reporter who interviewed Shahid. Graham and Jolina sit amongst the trees.
I need to know if this is what you want.
Joe, I want this. I love you, and I want to marry you. But you know who I am. And you just got to understand
it. I understand. I do. I know that you can be pulled away at any time to go anywhere. I know that. If anybody knows that, I do. It's part of the package, and I'm in it for the long haul. I love you, Billy.
The boys gather around Hawkins as he takes a putt.
My man shoot here, okay? Just take it easy. $50 on this.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my car. He's taking my car! Hey!
He flings his golf club and runs after the truck.
Hey! That's what you get for parking on the family, honey!
Hey, wait a minute! Wait a minute!
He yanks a bicycle off a bicycle rack, jumps on, and pedals madly after the truck. Rounding a corner, Hawkins chases the truck out into the open road. Hunched over the handlebars, Hawkins pumps at the pedals with his legs. Catching up with the truck, he grabs the back and climbs on, discarding the bike at the side of the road. His leg flails out as he struggles to gain a foothold, but soon hoists himself over the rail and creeps along the side of the car. The truck driver wears a personal stereo and is oblivious to Hawkins' presence. Hawkins nabs the remote control unit and clambers into the open-top red sports car. He activates the remote to tip the back of the truck up at a steep angle. Regardless of the lorry speeding up behind, Hawkins slides the car off the truck into the road and instantly reverses to keep his distance from the lorry. He spins the car around and speeds off the road to safety.
Okay, gentlemen, we're getting another shot at those missiles. Satellite photos show them located in a merchant vessel called the Latania, bound for Lebanon. The ship's packed with Muslim pilgrims, which could present a hostage situation.
How many terrorists, sir?
We don't know.
So what do we do about the hostage situation, sir?
Avoid it. At all costs.
That's right. The last thing we want is an international incident. Now, you know the missiles could be booby-trapped, so when you locate them, call the bomb disposal group.
Sounds like a real pleasure cruise.
Your insertion platform is the USN NIAG, presently shadowing the Latania off the coast of Syria.
A huge submarine glides through the inky black water. Curran joins the sub-captain in the command room.
Captain? Well, here she is, gentlemen.
The captain steps aside to let Curran peer through the periscope. Hawkins stands beside him. Through the sight, Curran sees a ship.
Looks peaceful enough. Let's go swimming.
Curran finds the SEAL team in their quarters.
The ops are go! Equipment check in 30 mics!
Glad you heard the man. Rock the box!
A crew member turns a wheel and gives a thumbs up.
Lockout chamber clear.
Go, Senator.
The SEALs climb up a ladder.
Open it up.
Valves open to the max.
Water pressure.
The SEALs in their diving gear check their breathing apparatus as the chamber fills up with water. A round hatch opens and the SEAL frogmen emerge one by one in a flurry of bubbles. Two of them move into position, nod to each other, and unfasten two heavy clips on the shell of the submarine. Another frogman launches himself out of the hatch. Four of them open up sections of the submarine shell. A valve on an air pipe is turned. Two large inflatable dinghies are loosened from the ropes holding them down and slowly rise to the surface, followed by the frogman. The dinghies surface, rapidly inflate and rock on the water. The frogmen swim over and haul themselves aboard, their sleek black wetsuits camouflaging them against the black night. Dane surveys the surroundings warily. A bag is unzipped. Machine guns are distributed. An outboard motor is started up. Walkie-talkies are handed out, and the two dinghies now motor forwards, spewing smoke out of their engines. They speed along virtually side by side, bumping over the choppy water towards the ship in the distance, still just a brightly lit white mark against the darkness. They glide up alongside the hull of the Latania, steady the dinghies against the turbulent wash lapping against the sides of the moored ship, then take turns to clamber up the flat surface of the hull. Using metal hoops and rails attached to the side of the ship, they climb up, along, then up again, leaving the dinghies adrift beneath them. Reaching the upper section of the hull, the black-clad frogmen show up more clearly against the white-painted metal. Hawkins is the first to reach the top. Straining, he swings himself over the rail onto the deck. The others are close behind. Gun poised, Hawkins crouches down and creeps forwards on tiptoes. People lie, fast asleep on the deck, wrapped up in blankets. He looks up to see the upper decks deserted, except for a figure standing on the bridge. He's joined by Curran, then Rexa, who leads the way down some steps leading from the bow to the main deck. They look around them, moving as stealthily as they can so as not to wake the sleeping passengers and the live cargo. One of the passengers wakes and watches the SEALs, unnoticed. He looks up at his friend, also awake, who nods. Creeping along the edge of the deck, Curran and Rexa stop in a doorway. Curran motions Hawkins and Leary to break off. Following Hawkins off to one side, Leary quickly beckons back at Dane, Ramos and Graham to bring up the rear. Curran rounds a corner. He raises his gun quickly as the two crew members come down some steps and go off. The coast clear, Ramos, Curran and Graham advance. Curran covers Ramos as he climbs the steps up to the deserted upper deck. He creeps forward and squats down. Curran follows him. On the main deck, Leary lifts a hatch and Hawkins points his gun inside. Satisfied, they close the hatch and move on. Face taut with concentration, Curran moves forward and looks up at Dane on a higher deck. Curran points to his eyes. Dane scans the lower decks and shakes his head. Curran pauses at the edge of the ship's bridge. Then, in a swift move, he and Graham rush inside. Curran grabs the captain. Graham grabs his colleague. From the other side, Ramos rushes up to Curran. Rexa enters through a back door.
Ask him where the gunmen are.
Pina Alusala Hain.
My fish was at the Hain.
His Honor, ask him about the missiles.
Pina Sawarich.
My fish Sawarich. Aya Sawarich.
Nothing. He's running out of time.
What gunmen? What missiles? This is a merchant ship. We're carrying machine parts.
What the hell's going on here?
We got the right ship.
Hawkins and Leary move back across the main deck to check on the cluster of sleeping passengers, inspecting the indistinct bundles lying amidst crates and cages. Hawkins signals Leary to peer down into the hold. Doing so, Leary sees a man standing by some crates and he shoots him. Falling, the man pulls a grenade on a string out of a tube.
Deal with us!
Ramos deals with the captain. The passengers scatter.
Later, Mrs. Two, be advised, we've had an explosion.
The man who had awoken holds a gun against the woman's neck. Curran and Rexa charge down the steps.
Hawkins, what's your status?
Hawkins, talk to me!
Hold on.
Hawkins innocently raises a hand.
What's he saying? Something about your mother.
Holding his gun in one hand, he shoots the man through the forehead.
Never talk about mom.
Curran runs up.
What's this?
It's like a dead terrorist to me, boss.
What happened? Kept the bad guy down in the hold. Looks like he fell on his own booby trap.
Okay, round everybody up, pat him down, let's get EOD in here.
I got it.
Daytime. Helicopters approach the Latania. The SEALs stand on deck, guarding the passengers, who all have their hands on their heads except the ship's captain. He looks up to see a rope drop down from the helicopter hovering overhead. A man slides down the rope. Curran draws him close to shout to him.
I've got nine crates in the forward hold!
The man's joined by another, and they go down to the hold. The man crowbars one of the crates open. It's full of sand.
Lieutenant, looks like you boys have been had.
No shit.
Washington, D.C. Claire Varence records a voiceover to a TV news report on Beirut.
True Islam does not preach terrorism. True Islam is one of the most tolerant of the world's religions, accepting Christians and Jews as people of the same God. True Islam also preaches equality and justice. The Shiite Muslims of Lebanon have seen little of either. 14 years of devastating civil war have given rise to small but militant groups of fundamentalists who believe the very survival of their faith is at stake. And then tolerance fades, and faith turns to anger. For the Al-Shuada of Lebanon, it's turned to absolute rage.
Perfect.
Great.
Okay, that's it.
Curran's entered. They walk through the newsroom.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I'm interested in your work, and I thought I might be able to look at some of your research material.
They go to her desk.
Who are you? Who do you represent?
My name is James Curran. I don't represent anyone. I'm in the Navy.
Right. What do you do for the Navy?
I'm with the teams.
SEAL, huh?
That's right.
Okay. Let's have lunch.
In a crowded restaurant.
Why do you keep going back to the Al-Shuda?
Is there something special about this group that interests you?
No.
You know, I don't think we're having a Mideast current affairs lesson here. I think we're talking about missiles.
Missiles?
Mm-hmm. Why the hell do you think I'm sitting here? because I have strong contacts who are telling me that U.S. missiles have somehow found their way there. Now I have a Navy SEAL asking me questions about Shahid.
You're telling me the Ashurada has gotten their hands on U.S. missiles?
No, you're telling me.
I didn't say anything.
Me neither.
They smile craftily at each other.
Come on, Lieutenant. What are the SEALs up to?
Nothing special. Training.
May I take a look?
Curran and Claire watch as SEAL trainees sprint through a forest, leap over logs into muddy puddles, and crawl through a waterlogged trench covered with barbed wire.
Only about 10% will make it. For these guys, it's all about endurance.
A helicopter comes into land in a large forest clearing, while shells explode around them. The SEALs bound out of the helicopter, drop to the ground and exchange gunfire with oncoming troops. The helicopter lifts off through clouds of smoke from the shells and swoops over a lake. A plume of red smoke rises up from two men stranded in the water. A rope drops down next to them, and the helicopter hoists them out of the water to safety. The stranded divers stretch out their arms and legs as they sail through the air. Curran and Claire keep watching as the SEAL trainees splash through puddles in the forest, each one carrying a man over his shoulders.
All that and a paycheck too?
A very small one. These guys, they don't do it for money.
What?
They don't do it for money.
Then why do they do it?
Next, the SEALs drop into a circular pool.
I guess we're all trying to prove something to ourselves.
This is called the dive tower.
What are they doing exactly?
They're simulating planting explosives on a ship's hull.
So you really think they're keeping the missiles in the ship?
This is normal training, Claire.
As she peers through the dive tower window, Hawkins kisses the glass.
That's normal?
No, that's abnormal. That's Hawkins. He's part fish. We better get out of here before he presses something else up against the window.
14, report the dive tank in
10 minutes. Karen and Claire drive through the harbor in his Jeep.
You ever had any mid-east assignments?
Beirut.
When?
83, 84.
So you were there during the bombing of the Marine barracks?
Yeah, I was there all right. Lost a couple good friends that day. So how about it? You gonna tell me what I want to know about the missiles or not?
You don't seem to understand, Lieutenant. I'm a journalist, not a spy.
Now a mock-up room.
What's this, the officers' club?
No. We call this the Kill House. We use it for CQB. Close quarters battle.
She moves close.
Sounds like fun.
It is.
He draws her closer. The SEALs burst through a door and open fire, blasting plywood cutouts of people. Terrified, Claire clings onto Curran.
Claire!
Claire! Claire!
Claire shakes Curran off.
Thanks.
She storms away.
She's not upset, is she, Lieutenant?
Sweet.
Curran hurries after her as she stalks across the wasteland towards the port. He grabs her arm.
Hey.
What the hell was that about?
It's about being in the middle of a war and not being able to do a damn thing about it. You know he's got the missiles. I know he's got the missiles. Now, what are we going to do about it?
Are the SEALs going after him?
If we can find him. Where is he?
I don't know.
Who does?
She stares defiantly at him, arms folded, then shrugs.
I don't know what I can tell you.
Hawkins drives his open-top red sports car along the rain-soaked streets at night. Spotting Curran's Jeep parked by the side of the road, he stops and reverses into the space behind it. A porter comes up.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to El Jardino.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In the parlor, right this way.
Hawkins enters the restaurant.
Hey, Hawk, how you doing?
Hi, Ruth, how you doing?
He peers into the restaurant to see Curran sitting at a table with Claire.
That's his phone. Great.
Hawkins dials on the wall-mounted phone.
Yeah.
Yes, can I have the command duty officer, please? Thank you. Yeah, this is Captain Dunn. Beat Lieutenant Curran immediately. Right away.
At Curran's table...
You made your home in the Navy, right?
Not necessarily. How about you?
Hey, girls. What's happening?
He sits down with them.
Hey.
I see you. There's a familiar face. How you doing? Dale Hawkins. Nice to meet you.
Claire Behrens. She's a journalist. Specializes in the Middle East.
Well, Beirut, really.
Ah, one of my favorite spots. What a shithole.
You been there?
No, kidding? Rags knocking each other off like the national pastime.
Rags?
Ragheads, Arabs. I think they're all a few sandwiches shy of a picnic.
I happen to be half rag myself. My mother's Lebanese.
Is she? Well, I guess I've done it again, haven't I?
What's new?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I was just being me, you know? What's up?
Curran consults his pager.
I've got to leave. Sorry. Can I give you a call?
Yes, sir. It's fine.
Can you give her a ride home?
Gladly.
Curran looks at Claire.
I'll be fine.
Curran reluctantly goes.
We'll see you around, boss.
Hawkins makes himself comfortable next to Claire.
So, where were we?
Well, I was insulting your heritage, and now we're having dinner.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
After the meal, Hawkins gives Claire a ride home.
So I guess growing up in the wetback section of Fresno wasn't that bad. It was...
You mean Mexicans?
Depends if they're working for you or not. You're gonna actually make me think before I talk, aren't you?
Sure, that'll be a first.
Anyways, my mom taught school and my dad, when he did work, he used to supervise fruit pickers. He had to drive around the fields in a golf cart because a Jap... Japanese mine blew both of his feet off, so couldn't get around too well. He's a good guy, but he thinks I'm nuts for being a full-time frogman.
Hawkins rounds a corner and pulls up at the edge of a sandy beach.
What are we doing?
Well... Hopefully each other, if all goes as planned.
Claire stops the tape.
You don't like these guys? Well, me neither. So, you got a favorite tune?
Yeah, do you know Turn the Car Around and Take Me to My Hotel?
What's wrong? Look, we got a beautiful ocean. We got the moon. We got two people strongly attracted to each other.
Two?
Well, one and two ain't bad, huh? Wait a minute, Claire, come on. Claire? Hey! Wait a minute, Claire.
Now look, you're a vaguely amusing and not unattractive guy, but I'm not even remotely interested. And if you don't take me to my hotel, that means I have to walk.
So I guess the weekend in Bora Bora is out of the question, right?
They smile at each other.
Come on.
Driving along in his Jeep, Curran sees Hawkins' car pulling away from Claire's hotel. Curran spins the wheel and turns the Jeep round in a swift U-turn to follow Hawkins. Curran overtakes, pulls up in front of Hawkins at the side of the road, and jumps out of his Jeep.
Nice move.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
What kind of bullshit was that?
Hey, trust me with your life, but not your money or your wife.
You're an asshole.
Oh, what is up with you? Am I missing something here?
Yeah, a lot.
Why don't you fill me in?
Hawkins joins Curran beside the Jeep.
I told her about the Stingers. Shade. Well, that's great. Why the hell did you do that?
Information.
Well, who are you, the goddamn CIA now?
CIA's given us nothing. They never have and they never will.
Curran shakes his head disconsolately.
She's all we've got.
Hawkins blinks and looks across the street.
We still got her, don't we, Hawkins?
Oh, yeah, she's still around. Sure.
Help me out, Liz.
Okay, you got me. All you had to do was say something.
In the foyer of the command center, Dunn watches a TV news report.
To recap our lead story, a private jet carrying an Algerian negotiating committee was shot down this morning as it left the airport in Madrid. 7 passengers and 2 crewmen were killed. Eyewitnesses report the plane exploded less than a minute after takeoff. Unconfirmed reports say the weapon which downed the plane was an American-built handheld missile called the Stinger. 2 men believed responsible for the attack were captured. Spanish police say they have evidence that more attacks on civilian aircraft are planned.
Curran pulls up in front of Claire's hotel and goes up to her room.
Did you hear what happened? Your defender of religious faith just blew a peace commission out of the sky. It's happening, Claire. Help us. Give me some information. Something. Anything.
Why can't you understand? I don't create the news. I report it. I'm a journalist.
You're involved.
I won't be an accomplice.
Well, who are you helping by not giving me any information?
Claire throws her bag down and keeps her back to Curran.
Fine. Write your story. And the next one. And when the next plane is shot down, make sure you get the names and ages of the innocent victims right.
Claire throws her pen down as Curran heads for the door.
Okay. But I can't volunteer anything. You ask the questions and I'll try and answer what I know.
Right.
Now, in a squat wooden house on the waterfront, Curran searches through a jumble of documents. He finds photos of a man in a file labelled Lebanon. He picks up another clutch of documents and takes both out to the balcony, where Hawkins and Claire are relaxing in deck chairs.
I think I've got something. Waleed Falati. Wasn't he Mr. Heed's go-between at the second meeting that you had in...
Baalbek, right?
Yeah, that's right. Now we're getting someplace.
Except he dropped out of sight 6 months ago.
What are you talking about?
Disappeared. Kidnapping, probably. Could have been the Israelis.
Right.
Now that is the best goddamn idea I've heard all day.
What?
What you just said.
What did I just say?
Why don't we just go in there, grab one of these cheese dicks, and make them talk?
Sounds great.
Hawkins looks up at Curran.
I don't think she's taking us that seriously.
What do you expect? I don't think you understand the situation. These guys are religious zealots. There's no way you could make them talk. You're dealing with extremists.
You're dealing with the Navy SEALs.
Oh, okay.
At the Pentagon...
All right, I've heard enough. I can assure you that this administration will take no part in the kidnapping of a foreign national.
Warren, hear him out.
No, I appreciate your zeal in this matter, Dick, but it's totally out of the question.
Just a minute. We know this guy.
You know him, Elliot?
Yeah, he's a paid asset. We've bought information from him in the past. I always thought he was...
This guy has any information. Why hasn't he contacted you already?
Well, he's probably scared shitless. But if we extract him and we make it look like a kidnapping, I feel certain he'd sell us anything he knows.
Look, can we call this a defection? I'm thinking of
You can call it an immigration if you want to, Jim. The point is, you give the guy money, he jumps into bed.
Captain Dunn narrows his eyes.
Warren, shall we continue to plan?
All faces turn to Warren, nervously awaiting his response.
All right. I'll update the president.
In the control room at the SEAL command center...
All right, let's go through it again. Maybe the last chance for this model, so let's go over it again.
They gather around a scale model of a small town.
Ramos.
Street to south.
Graham.
Street to the north.
Hawkins.
Front door, first floor.
Dane.
Sidewall, second floor, secure.
Right, Rexer.
Rear wall, secure courtyard.
All right, for those people on the street, if there's any trouble, collapse on the house. Those inside, stay inside. We move out together, only together.
Remember, there's only one hostile, a bodyguard. So let's not hose down the place. I'd be happy if no shots were fired.
So would he, I'm sure.
Rapid deployment base, Northern Cyprus. The SEALs, dressed for action, stride past lines of jet fighters, Captain Dunn with them.
And I want you to keep right on top of it.
Sure, it'll be okay.
You're gonna be on Syrian and Israeli radar the moment you take off. So you have to stay in commercial airspace and jump from 12 miles offshore and swim in. Assuming everything goes okay, the biggest thing to worry about is the extraction. You'll be extracting in a river. It'll be on radar the moment it starts in. fast at it! If you're not right there on time to the second, you're gonna have to walk home!
We'll be there, Skipper!
Do the deed!
Curran shakes Dunn's hand and boards the plane. The image blurred by the heat haze rising off the tarmac, the vast carrier aircraft lifts off the ground. The plane penetrates the cover of white cloud and soars through the bright blue sky.
2 hours in! 45 minutes at the beach landing site! If I'm a no-show, you're taking them in! With pleasure! Just a walk in the park!
No, it isn't! Just because we aren't expecting resistance, don't relax on this one!
Leary goes up to Dane, who's nervously checking his gear, breathing apparatus round his neck, parachute on his back.
How you doing? I hate jumping out of a perfectly good airplane! You don't gotta love it, you just gotta do it!
As the sun sets, preparations continue inside the plane. Nimble hands work quickly. Bullets are loaded into a cartridge, which is snapped into a gun. Flippers and diving gear held in place with gaffer tape. Graham nonchalantly reads a book. One of the pilots emerges from the cockpit into the cabin, carrying a roll of cable. Rexa shouts to him.
What's our altitude?
It's about 30,000. 6 miles up. You guys are crazy.
That's right. Proud of it, baby. Yeah.
Roger, 6 minutes.
6 minutes!
Everyone gives him thumbs up.
6 minutes! 6 minutes!
Ramos holds up six fingers and grabs his helmet. Rexa sits beside Dane, who's put on his oxygen mask, goggles, and helmet.
Hey man, what's with the goggles? You look like you're underwater already.
Eat shit!
Dane replaces his mask and double-checks his breathing apparatus. He removes his mask again and rolls his eyes to the ceiling. The plane's now silhouetted against the dusky light.
Okay, gentlemen, grab your masks. We're beginning to depressurize. We are going to depressurize here.
The back door of the cabin slowly opens, casting a warm orange glow over the faces of the waiting SEALs. Each man has an altimeter on his wrist.
Let's go!
The SEALs march forward. One jumps up, pushes his way to the front and drops to his knees. From outside the plane, silhouetted against the pink sky, a figure on his knees appears at the open door, edging his way forward. Another SEAL beside him peers over the edge. Dane steps up, one of his colleagues checks his parachute.
Jesus, Dane, who the fuck packed your chute? It doesn't look good. I wouldn't jump it if I were you. All right, gentlemen, stand by. On the green.
One more thing. For God's sake, be careful out there.
If I was careful, I'd be in the Coast Guard.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
The seven SEALs tumble out of the aeroplane in a dense bundle, which soon spreads out. Arms outstretched, they soar downwards at speed. As graceful as birds, they hover above the rippled sheet of cloud, black shapes against the orange horizon. They begin to cluster together again, and the plane banks off to the left. One SEAL checks his altimeter and spreads out his arms. The team wave their arms and waggle their fingers. Just above the clouds, they release their parachutes, which quickly drag them upwards. Graham's parachute becomes twisted and tangled.
Oh, shit! Shit, Graham's got a streamer! Graham! Release! Release, Graham! Bail! Get away, Graham!
He free falls. Just in time, he releases his reserve parachute and touches down gently in the water. The other SEALs soon drift down and hit the water. They plunge underwater amid columns of bubbles and untangle themselves from their parachutes, which float away like jellyfish. Cohen gives a thumbs up to one of his men, and they start to swim. Hawkins consults a compass and they swim on, dark blots in the murky water, their feet paddling at a steady pace. After a short time, they surface to find that night has fallen. Masks and goggles removed, the seals swim for shore through the dull bottle-green water under the cover of darkness. The town on the waterfront is lit up in the near distance. Cloaked in shadow, the black-clad figures creep onto the shore and stop at the rough stone wall of a waterfront building. Rexha checks the coast is clear and leads the team round the corner. Moving like shadows themselves, the seals scamper across a wide street unnoticed by two figures far ahead. Four of them go up a slight slope between two high walls and, reaching a gate, they split up again, two of them going ahead and two peeling off down a narrow alley, where they climb a wall at the far end. Hawkins confidently leads Graham and Ramos down a narrow street between the high, white-walled buildings. They nip into doorways as a truck glides past at the end of the alley ahead of them. They proceed in a tight line. Dane and Leary gallop over the uneven landscape of rooftops, stepping gingerly over the brittle tiles of a sloping roof, hunched, guns poised. On ground level, Rexha clambers over a wall. He squats down against a wall. Curran heaves himself over the wall behind him. Hawkins proceeds along a dimly lit street and signals to Ramos to take position against a low wall. Up some steps, Graham pauses at the corner, but Hawkins carries on regardless.
There she is.
Graham follows Hawkins up a wider, more brightly lit street and signals for him to take position at a corner.
Try and stay awake.
You bet.
Graham squats down, Hawkins moves on. Curran and Rex enter a house and creep up the stairs.
Team, this is Leader. We're in.
Leader, this is God. I'm in position. This is 5. Security set.
2, this is Leader. What's your status?
Leader, this is 2. I'm in position.
A man strolls along the street towards where Ramos is positioned. Ramos shrinks down out of sight against the wall, a railing on the street directly above his head.
Who's this for?
I got a midnight stroller headed my way.
Is he gonna be a problem?
The man leans against the railing.
4, this is Leader. Is he gonna be a problem?
Leader, this is 3. Ramos ain't being rude. Our stroller just camped out in his backyard.
What's his status?
Oh, if he was any closer, he'd be inside him.
All right, let's try to keep it quiet. We don't need a confrontation right now.
You got it.
Graham observes the stroller. Inside the house, an Arabic man watches TV.
Ahlan, ya Wilbur.
Ahlan, Ed.
Damn
Oh, Arabas, get the show back. Damn it.
Ya salam.
It's a dubbed version of Mr. Ed. He pulls out a cigarette packet and finds it empty. As he rises from bed to get a new packet, Rexha bursts through a doorway. Rexha grabs the man and pulls him backwards through the strings of beads hanging down over the doorway. In the street, Graham sees 2 more men with guns approach the stroller.
Leader, the party just got bigger.
And they brought their fireworks.
I'm not there, Chief. You make the call.
3, this is 2. Sounds like I need some help.
-2. I got a dead to rights. Stay
warm. I'm coming down. Hawkins, don't start anything.
I'm on my way.
Hawkins!
Hawkins moves down the road in front of the 3 men. They reach for their guns. Hawkins, Graham, and Ramos exchange fire with them. Hawkins is beside Graham.
Ramos, we're clear?
Clear.
All right, Chief. Let's go tag him and bag him.
He stops. Graham is slumped over a car bonnet.
Hey, Chief.
Hawkins nudges him. Graham is motionless, eyes closed. Ramos pushes Hawkins aside, cradles Graham in his arms and feels his neck. The other SEALs emerge from a nearby doorway with their hostage and approach the scene. Curran and Leary squat down at Graham's side. Ramos looks up at them grimly.
He's dead.
Aghast, Hawkins steps back. Curran looks up at him.
I told you to stay put.
Hawkins frowns. Ramos avoids his gaze.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Curran heaves Graham over his shoulder and leads the group off. Rexa hustles their hostage forwards as they hurry along the waterfront and jump into a waiting rubber dinghy manned by two Navy officers. Hawkins leaps aboard, and the boat motors off into the night. Now in naval uniform, Curran enters a large greenhouse filled with lines of shrubs and flowers, where Jolina is working. He bows his head, approaches her and speaks to her. Now the funeral. Jolina jumps with every gunshot. In the large military cemetery, the lone trumpeter stands at the end of the line of gunners. The rain pours down as the mourners, some huddled under umbrellas, cluster round the coffin. The SEALs, dressed in full naval uniform, stand in two lines, staring dead ahead, expressionless, frozen in a salute, one hand resting at an angle against the peak of their gold-braided caps. Sitting, Jolina watches, swallowing back her tears, as two white-gloved naval officers fold an American flag into a triangular bundle. An officer hands the folded flag to Captain Dunn, who steps forward and passes it to Graham's parents. Jolina sits nearby, blinking back her tears.
On behalf of a grateful nation and a proud Navy, I present this flag to you in recognition of your son's years of honorable and faithful service and his sacrifice for this nation.
Yes, thank you.
Dunn straightens up and salutes. The mourners drift away through the seemingly endless lines of identical white gravestones in the cemetery. Curran walks with Jolina.
I've got a right to know, James. How did he die?
Was a training accident.
Bullshit. You're lying.
Talk about it, Joe.
You can take all of that classified, unsung hero stuff and shove it.
She walks a few paces away and stands with her back to Curran.
Tell me something, James.
She turns to face him.
It may seem simple to you, but if we had been married, would I have gotten a flag?
Yeah. You would have gotten a flag.
Jolina's face crumples.
Oh, God.
Curran puts his arms around her. Hands in pockets and head bowed, Hawkins passes them and goes to his car. Standing at the door, he watches as Curran holds Jolina tightly. Hawkins removes his cap and gets into the car. Now camcorder footage of Graham juggling balls on the golf course. Hawkins sits glumly in a bar, a beer in front of him. Hawkins rubs his eyes. The other men are around him, swigging from bottles of Budweiser, watching the camcorder footage on a TV set behind the bar. On screen, Graham plays polo in the golf cart, tees up and waves at the camera. Rexa slams his beer down.
Another round here? Put on my tab.
Got it. Nick Graham, right?
Billy Graham. All the drinks are on me tonight.
Big spender.
That's right.
What are you celebrating?
Retirement.
Hey, where's Mark?
Retirement!
A man comes up.
Hey, it's time for the game? Oh, yeah, turn it on!
Turn it on!
Hey, whoa. Hey, we're watching the Cuervo go golf classic, okay? Yeah. Thanks. Is this your bar, Squidly? As if it ain't, butt out. Want me to butt out? Oh, okay, right, yeah. Butt out. This guy wants a beer bottle shoved up his ass.
Leary comes round the bar to confront him.
Now, who are you telling the butt out?
I'm telling you. Hey, excuse me. You just lost a good buddy. The same guy who happens to be on that television. So we're having a couple drinks to say goodbye to him. Now, why don't you say goodbye?
As Hawkins turns away, the man grabs him. Hawkins whips back round, holds him by the throat, then kisses him on the lips. Hawkins holds the man.
Love you.
And drops him. Dane pours a line of liquor along the surface of the bar. Hawkins rejoins the group.
Toast. Chief. Best friend a guy ever had.
Hawkins lifts his shot glass and drains it. Curran leans on the bar, staring gloomily at the flames as the liquor burns away along the bar. He nods sullenly to Hawkins and staggers out. Leary shakes his head disconsolately. Hawkins stares after Curran and chases him out to the car park.
Hey, what's your problem? My toast not good enough for you?
They stop and Curran prowls around him.
You still don't get it, do you? Don't you take any responsibility for what happened? How come you left the door open? Huh? You looking for a fight? You looking for a rush, little rush? Well, I hope you got it. Cause you're toasting a man you put in the grave.
Curran stumbles away.
All right, I did. I fucked up, and he's gone. And there isn't a damn thing I can do about it. So what do you want from me, huh?
Curran flaps his arms resignedly as he wanders away. Swaying slightly, Hawkins stares after him, his face troubled, and sits down exhaustedly on a curb. He lowers his head, burying his face in his crossed arms, and rocks back and forth. Claire walks along a jetty.
Over here. Oh, please. Now, I tried.
Smiling, she walks down a wooden gangplank and enters Curran's waterfront house. She walks through the empty rooms.
Hello?
Uncertain, she goes upstairs. A framed America's Cup poster hangs crooked on the wall. The living room is a mess. A torn photo of Curran with Graham lies amid fragments of broken glass on the floor.
Midnight.
Standing in the open doorway to his balcony, Curran steps forward and leans on the balcony railing.
Whisper good night.
Claire emerges and steps up beside him. She asks him if he's okay. He nods stoically, holding back his tears.
I'm
standing on a hard line, taking my sweet time.
He avoids her eye. She takes his hand and he bows his head. Now Curran and Claire walk along the jetty together.
So when he tells you where the missiles are, does that mean you have to go back?
They stop and stand opposite each other.
Yeah. What?
Listen, difference. Reasons never will explain.
He puts his arms round her and they walk on. Now the sun rises over the harbour, enveloping the ships and cranes in a soft pink glow.
Till I'm strong enough to bend and not break. I'm standing on a hard line, a victim of a hard crime.
Dressed in his green combat shirt, Curran sits down at Claire's bedside. She's still asleep. Curran stares at her and brushes her curly dark hair away from her attractive face. She opens her eyes, smiles, then touches his shirt.
You found him.
She wraps her arms round him and they hug each other tightly for an instant before Curran reluctantly rises and leaves. Claire stares yearningly after him, her eyes flickering in thought, then buries her face in the pillow. Now at the SEAL Command Center, Curran meets Hawkins in the foyer.
Need your initials for this evening.
Great. Mohammed spilled the beans, huh?
Hey, I'm still a part of this fucking outfit.
Curran stares blankly at him. Hawkins holds his gaze.
All right. Grab your gear. Going to Beirut.
The missiles are located in a schoolhouse in the Shiite slums of Beirut. Contact from the Mall Militia will meet you on the beach and take you in. Heavy fighting has just broken out, so don't get involved. Just get to the missiles and blow them. Be back in the water by dawn. See you on the sideline.
Make sure you're there.
The six SEALs, dressed in camouflage gear and scarves, are gathered around a helicopter. Dunn watches as the helipad platform lifts them upwards towards the level of the main deck. Once they're inside the chopper, an officer clasping fluorescent beacons in each hand signals them for takeoff. The massive Navy helicopter lumbers off the deck and roars away into the dreary grey sky. As the chopper thunders over the water, Ramos drags open the side cabin door. They heave out the inflatable dinghies, then follow them, dropping one by one into the cold water. The two dinghies surge forward, bouncing on the rough sea under the oppressive gunmetal grey clouds. Night has fallen. The jagged cityscape appears in the distance, glowing orange against the pitch-black sky. Plumes of smoke rise up from the war-torn buildings. White flashes of light splinter the night sky. The SEALs keep their heads down and exchange steely glances, which betray their fear. Beirut, Lebanon. The first dinghy lands on the shore. The first three SEALs to land drag their dinghy over the rocks and across the flat sand away from the water's edge. Smoke drifts across the beach.
Where the hell's this guy we're supposed to meet? It's late.
A teenage boy sits in the empty shell of a burnt-out car, cleaning his gun. He looks up as the SEALs arrive.
You're late.
You from Amal?
Ali.
Christ, he's just a kid.
The kid ambles away, oblivious to the fire and bombing around him.
I guess the kid's on point.
The SEALs follow him warily, skidding on the rocky, uneven ground. An armoured tank rumbles past the piles of rubble and burnt-out vehicles lining the city streets. As soon as the tank, piled high with troops, disappears round a corner, the SEALs venture forth, running in a tidy line across the street, weaving in between the flaming remnants of the conflict. They hit the deck, sparks rain down from above. They leap up and run on through the ruins of a half-demolished building, bringing them out on the other side by a street lined with the fragile skeletons of heavily bombed houses. Taking cover behind a pile of rubble, Rexer gazes around him in horrified disbelief.
Dark side of the moon, guys.
Green line. Druz, Amal, Hezbollah, Al-Shahada. Israel.
He points upwards, Curran rises.
Yes, all the misery.
Curran nods for Rexer and the kid to run the gauntlet across the rubble-strewn street. They make it, and Curran nods for Dane and Leary to follow, risking the crossfire. They make it across, and Curran signals for Ramos and Hawkins to make a run for it. Curran is the last to face the hail of bullets. He makes it. The group races over the fallen masonry and takes cover, gunfire coming from all around. Hawkins looks up to see a figure directly above him firing at men across the street. The SEALs cower.
This ain't our beef, guys. Let's move out.
Curran points the way and moves off, the men following in a line after him. They pick their way carefully through the stones and smoking ruins. A head-scarfed figure fires a rocket launcher. The explosion throws the SEALs to the ground. The SEALs scatter and exchange fire with assailants hidden all over the ruins. The kid stands up and fires. Rexer pulls him down.
Knock it off! We need you!
Curran joins them.
What's the kid?
He was my own!
Dane flops down beside Hawkins. He spots a staircase on the side of a building.
I'm going to high ground!
Find it!
Cover me!
Go!
Hawkins covers Dane as he charges towards the staircase.
Fuck!
He reaches it and hastens up the stairs, looking nervously around him. A step breaks under his weight. He stumbles, gets up and scrambles on. Reaching the rooftop, gunfire flashes behind him as he ventures forward, bent double.
Hawkins! Go!
Curran runs up a steep bank, bullets crackling at his heels, and drops down behind a tank. Hawkins follows and drops down beside him.
Fucking kid led us into a shitstorm. What was your first clue?
Dane's in position.
Hey, Carmen, this is God. I'm about 100 meters to the west of your position. Have multiple targets sighted.
As he assembles his gun, a figure appears behind him. Dane whips round. They both fire and they're both hit.
God, this is bad karma. Come in.
God, this is bad karma. Come in. It's not right. Let me go check it out.
Hawkins covers Curran as he slides down a gravelly slope and pauses to shoot. He hurtles on, bounding athletically over the mounds of shattered brickwork, stopping sporadically to fire. He reaches the staircase and races up. Arriving at the rooftop, he crashes through a hole in the dusty floor. Curran's stuck in the hole. A man appears and points his gun at him.
Guys, I got company up here.
You're an American?
Curran covers his face.
Guy, come in, guy.
Your God doesn't help you now.
An explosion blows the man forward. Dane slumps back against the wall and drops his huge gun into his lap. Curran crawls out of the hole and enters the building, where he sees his ailing colleague.
Dane?
Curran edges towards him, gun still poised. Dane, still alive, stares into space with empty eyes.
Dane?
Dane stirs as if out of a trance.
Dane?
Curran squats beside him.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Bane's smile fades, his eyes close, and his head lolls lifelessly to the side. Curran pauses for an instant. Then his eyes start to flicker as he hears a figure approach behind him. Curran snatches Dane's handgun and whips round. He freezes. Hawkins steps forward out of the shadows. Curran lowers his gun, glares up at Hawkins, then twists round on his heel to pick up his own gun, as well as Dane's massive high-powered rifle. He sweeps out past Hawkins.
This is two. Dane's dead. I'll come down.
Rexer drops his head dejectedly, and he and the kid move off. Leary fires a few rounds, then follows Rexer and the kid, still firing as he runs. Curran and Hawkins rejoin the others. Curran unloads Dane's rifle on Ramos and barks at the kid.
Get us out of here, kid. Come.
The SEALs follow the kid. Leary covers them. A man fires a rocket launcher at the retreating SEALs. He misses. The SEALs follow the kid over to a low stone wall, which allows them a vantage point over the street below. The kid points out a building whose facade is still almost intact, the abandoned schoolhouse.
There.
Where?
There. I go.
The kid runs off and disappears amongst the rubble. Hawkins draws up alongside Curran. They look over at their perilous destination and exchange glances. Curran looks over his shoulder at his remaining team, who nod their readiness. Curran points them down the steps to the street below. Rexer leads, followed by Hawkins, then Curran, then Ramos and Leary. Soldiers trot through the streets. In the empty shell of a building, the SEALs wait for them to pass, then Ramos stands up and views the schoolhouse through a heat-sensing telescope.
Looks like we got a slumber party on the third floor.
He sees four pink blobs inside the blue building. The SEALs peer out cautiously.
Looks like about it. I'm going in. I want anyone on this, Lieutenant.
Okay, let's do it.
You might need this.
Curran hands Hawkins a remote detonator. Curran, Rexer and Leary file out of their hiding place. Hawkins and Ramos remain to cover them. The three slink slowly towards the schoolhouse. Curran, Rexer and Leary enter the building through a hole blasted in the wall and have their guns always at the ready as they creep round each corner. They approach a room in which a head-scarfed figure sits dozing on a chair. He wakes. Too late, he's knocked to the floor.
Clear. Clear.
Clear.
Rexer spots several long boxes stacked against the wall.
Bingo.
Verified.
Rexer and Leary lift a box to the floor. A man enters the room. Curran kickboxes him in the chest. And punches him to the floor. Rexer and Leary undo the clips. The top of the box reads, "Rocket ammunition with explosive projectile." They open it up to reveal a huge rocket launcher.
Let's pray for rain.
Gonna work.
They leap into action, slipping blocks of explosive between the boxes. Curran pushes the door shut. The blocks are joined in a line by red wire.
Piece of cake.
The captain of the submarine, stationed off the shore of Beirut, views the waterfront through a periscope.
Christ, the sun will be up in 10 or 15 minutes. When that light hits the water, this boat will be compromised. I'm sorry, in 20 minutes we're out of here. SEALs or no SEALs. Relax. I'll be here.
The captain eyeballs Dunn, then moves off.
What you got to learn, Riga?
Dawn has broken over the city. Ramos squats with Hawkins, watching the schoolhouse.
Leader, this is two.
It's getting real bright out here. What are you doing in there? I'm gonna have breakfast.
Hawkins watches a local woman and her child pass with water buckets.
Be advised, we have movement on the second floor.
A man comes out on the school balcony and a figure also appears behind Hawkins. Hawkins turns, puts a finger to his lips, and shoots the man.
Boring conversation. Later, we're gonna have company.
Rex, Larry, we gotta go!
In the schoolhouse, the team finishes laying the charges and then they move out quickly. Curran is the last to go. Weapon raised, he backs out slowly, then hurries to the entrance from which Rex and Leary are now running. A man comes down a winding wooden staircase, an automatic in his hand. He challenges Curran. Curran's hit but fires back, killing the man. Curran falls.
Curran's hit.
Hawkins blasts away at the schoolhouse. Curran fires up at a balcony above him. Shahid appears at a shell hole. Hawkins fires and Shahid withdraws. Rexha and Leary are holed up in a crater between the two sides. Under blistering fire, Rexha dashes to a new position. Firing above him, Curran makes it to a doorway. Rexha blasts away as Curran rests.
Hawkins! Blood! Sorry, boss. I can't do that.
Sounds like an order to me, Lieutenant.
Fuck his order! Blood! Blood! Larry, maintain your field of fire. Keep their fucking heads down.
Hawkins, yeah, okay. Come on, Hunt.
Leary fires a burst.
Rexha, try and get an angle on that balcony. If he shows you a piece, blow it off.
Rexha shoots.
Ramos, when I break cover, you rock the front of that building. Here. You might need this.
He hands Ramos the radio detonator, then starts forward. Hawkins dashes towards the schoolhouse under a hail of fire. He hides behind a wrecked car, then races into a doorway. Rexha pops up and fires another burst as Hawkins moves quickly along the foot of the building. Shahid fires down at Hawkins and he fires back, diving for cover.
Pinned down. Ramos, jump on the 50. Put the fucker on his knees.
Hang tight, hang tight. Power's on its way.
Ramos fires a burst from Dane's huge gun, blasting holes in the building and flushing out Shahid.
Shahid.
Hawkins fires in the air and dashes to the doorway where Curran lies wounded.
SEAL team, let me get you out.
Christ.
Come on.
He lifts Curran up.
This is two. We're moving.
Leary and Rexha give covering fire as Hawkins carries Curran away from the building, bullets bursting at his heels. Ramos readies the detonator. Ramos presses the button and kisses it. Explosions block the schoolhouse. The blast throws Hawkins and Curran to the ground. The whole edifice collapses in a giant fireball. On the ground, Curran groans in pain.
Alright? Ever better! Get some help over here!
Ramos dashes down a flight of steps to join them. Locals are rushing about among the smoking ruins of the schoolhouse. The team carries Curran behind a wall as Ramos gives cover with an automatic. By the schoolhouse, a distraught Arab woman is pulled away to a safe distance by relatives.
I'm out of ammo here.
Hawkins tosses Ramos a fresh cartridge as the others tend to Curran.
Give me a working syringe. Come on, I got it, I got it.
Wait, I got an abdominal. That's all right.
Dress it quickly.
A dressing shoved under Curran's shirt.
Okay, let go for a second. Go for a second. I'm really gonna love this.
Leary injects him.
Help him, Rexha. Ramos, you got rear.
I got one mag left.
Use it. I'm on point. Let's hit the beach.
Raising Curran up, the team moves out. Teeth gritted, Shahid strides out of the building and looks at the chaos around him. Shahid leads some of his soldiers away. The SEALs take cover in a secluded alleyway. Leary tends to Curran. Ramos and Hawkins stand poised, and as a Mercedes approaches, they jump out and force the people out of the car at gunpoint.
Come on, move your fucking ass!
Come on!
Get out! Get out!
Leary and Ramos heave Curran to his feet and help him into the car. Curran's in a daze, a drug-induced grin on his face. The other SEALs hurriedly climb into the car with him. A man scurries across a rooftop carrying a rocket launcher. Rexha starts up the car. The man takes aim, fires and misses.
Go, 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 go!
Get your fucking hands down!
The car speedily reverses. The car roars away.
Oh shit!
They thunder headlong down a steep road, bumping over the potholed ground. A man leaps up a wall out of their way as the car rounds a sharp corner and crashes on down a flight of stone steps.
The ocean is west and we're traveling east. Where the fuck are we?
Lost.
Looks the same. It all looks the same.
Stay left.
The car approaches a roadblock ahead.
Sub leaves in 5 minutes. This doesn't look good.
I just got close.
No!
They duck their heads as they smash through the van laid across their path. Gunfire snaps at their tail. A tank lumbers down a slope. A soldier mans a cannon on its top. The Mercedes races on through the labyrinthine network of roads. The tank stops, then moves on. Hawkins looks over his shoulder behind him.
I think we lost.
The tank crashes through a wall beside them.
Behind us!
Oh, shit, he's right on my ass.
The car's riddled with gunfire.
We gotta get out of here. No! Don't move! You can't get a clear shot! Hard right.
They skirt round a wrecked van. The tank rams it out of the way. The car slips through a tight gap between two car wrecks. The tank plows on straight over them, firing wildly.
Larry, you got that missile. You might want to think about using it. I wonder if I can figure the damn thing out.
It's a one-shot deal.
What? You miss, we die.
A bus pulls out in front of them. The tank charges into the bus, which explodes.
We lost them! I think we lost them!
Thank God!
I can smell the ocean. We're close. Yeah. We're real close.
We are close.
The tank's still behind them. The car hits a mound of rubble and overturns. The car comes to a standstill. The tank blasts away as Leary struggles out of the car. Leary aims the rocket launcher and blows the tank to smithereens.
Come on!
Rexer!
Car's on fire, guys! Come on, we got time!
We gotta get out of here!
What about Rexer? Rexer's dead! We gotta get rid of him! He's dead!
They drag Curran out of the car, and the four SEALs hobble away to a safe distance as the car explodes. On the submarine...
Come right 270 degrees. Depth 300. All ahead standard.
10 more minutes, that's all I ask.
Look, I've got 107 men aboard this half-billion-dollar piece of equipment. No way I'm gonna hazard this boat. All ahead standard. Depth 300.
Leary and Hawkins flank Curran, holding him up as they rush along. Two jeeps pull up. Shahid stands atop one of them. His men pile out of the other. Shahid watches the SEALs retreat across the messy, decimated landscape. Shahid's jeep backs up. The SEALs stumble across the muddy ground of a shallow, waterlogged valley. Curran falls. They pick him up and carry on. They scramble up the far bank. Reaching the top, they see the ocean spread out in front of them. They grin with relief and carry on. Shahid's men pull up at the quayside and gallop along a wooden jetty towards a man with a small boat. They hop aboard the boat and punch the man into the water. The SEALs reach the water's edge and collapse on the sand. They get up slowly, drag the weakened current to his feet, and splash into the waves lapping against the shore. Five of Shahid's men appear on the beach, stop to take aim and open fire on the distant figures. The SEALs plunge beneath the surface. Bullets whiz through the water around them, leaving behind a slipstream of tiny bubbles. they surface, then submerge themselves again to face the underwater shooting gallery. They surface and go down again as one of the men on the beach aims a rocket launcher and fires. The rocket hits the water, sending up a gigantic mountain of spray. Shahid and two of his men chug along on the small boat, scanning the water. One of Shahid's men points.
Shahid, there, Connie!
Zen!
Rohan Borg! Wash!
Shahid motions the boat forwards in the direction of the object. They approach one of the seal's bodies floating face down on the water. Shahid prods at it with a hook mounted on a pole. Hawkins pops up and drags Shahid overboard. Leary shoots one of the men. Ramos chucks a grenade into the boat. The boat explodes in a fireball. Shahid surfaces. So does Hawkins and pulls Shahid down. The two men tussle underwater, spinning round and round deep into the murky depths, cloaked in a haze of bubbles. Shahid frees himself and swims up towards the surface. Not surfacing, Hawkins pulls Shahid back down and pushes them deeper and deeper, gaining momentum thanks to his flippers. They spin crazily, arms flailing, hands grabbing. Then, in a swift move, Hawkins secures Shahid's arms and turns him round so Shahid has his back to him. Hawkins pulls a knife out of Shahid's ankle holster and struggles to place it against Shahid's throat. Face contorted with effort, Shahid holds the blade away, but Hawkins is too strong, edges the blade closer and closer to Shahid's neck until it rests against the skin. Then suddenly, Hawkins cracks Shahid's neck. Shahid's lifeless body floats away. Hawkins surfaces near where Leary, Ramos and Curran are floating. The four seals huddle together in a group.
Other side of the sun.
What do you think?
It's typical. Maybe they heard something.
Maybe.
Maybe they heard the explosion.
Leary gives Hawkins a pat on the back of the head. The group bobs up and down, alone out on the water.
How long do you guys want to wait?
Suddenly, the tower of the submarine breaks the surface, and the enormous vessel appears, sweeping through the water past the stranded seals. The sun glistens on the water as the submarine surges on, leaving a white foamy wash in its wake. ITFC audio description was by Adam English.